Take your Bible, if you would. Romans chapter 13 will be our text tonight. I wanted to finish the day concentrating tonight, just in a addition to our service this morning on our nation and patriotism and our veterans. I thought I would take tonight just to kind of pause and look at God's Word, at what it says for us as individual believers and our responsibility to our government. I think this is fitting for Veterans Day, and I think this is fitting for God's people to understand. I personally believe, and I don't know what you believe about this, but I believe that the best citizens of our nation ought to be a born-again child of the living God. Christians are to be good citizens. And I want to concentrate and use as my platform verse number 5 of Romans chapter 13. Paul is writing here, and you know this, and I'm going to go through the chapter, but I want to lay my groundwork in verse number 5. Whenever you come to a Bible verse and it begins with the word wherefore, or it begins with the word therefore, you need to know what it's where and therefore, which means it's a application verse. And so you need to understand the text prior to that, as the scripture tells you what to do. Wherefore, verse number 5, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for what? Conscience sake. I'm going to preach the message tonight, not because I believe that we're disobedient, or not that I believe that we're rebellious in our position toward our government or toward local law enforcement or toward the laws of our land. But I kind of just want to work on your understanding tonight, on your conscience, your mindset when it comes toward our government, toward our leaders, toward our officials, toward the laws of the land, and just kind of bring us back into a reverence moment. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but politics has the ability to fire up my blood. Yeah, yours too. I read your emails and your post on Facebook. And it does have that ability to fire us up. But as a child of God, we're bound to the Word of God, and we're also bound to the Holy Spirit of God. And I think that it is imperative, especially if you are a parent in your home, that you as a believing parent, for conscience sake and for your children's sake, you understand God's position in His Word on government and your responsibility. It's very easy to get into the flesh and become disrespectful in our wording, disrespectful in our titles, disrespectful in our agreement. And I don't even know if you notice this or not, but sometimes a parent can breed in their child anarchy or negativity toward government just by the way they talk within their home. It's one thing to have a disagreement with laws. It's one thing to see what the world is wanting to do as opposed to what God's Word does. But sometimes we get our passions unbridled and we get our tongues unloosed, and we're teaching our children a direction or a way that really and truthfully we ought not to teach them. And so I wanted to take Romans chapter 13, which I do believe is the supreme chapter in the Bible on the Christian's responsibility to government. And I just want to show you some things that God says about it. And it's interesting how this chapter begins, and it's interesting how the chapter ends. And I need God to let me get there as I can. The chapter begins with the Apostle Paul writing. He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That word subject is the word submitted, in obedience to. What the Apostle Paul here is teaching about those words higher power is really a reference to government authorities. I want you to hear something. God wants you to obey governmental authorities. He wants you to submit yourself and be subject unto government authorities. Pastor, what happens when the law of the land goes against the word of God? When we get there, and if we ever do as a nation, then we will always put God's word over human law anytime. However, I think most Christians kind of create something that does not exist right now. That's not an excuse for us not to obey governmental authorities or higher powers that have position over our life. Pastor, why would God want us to submit to government authority when it goes against our belief or even the platform would go against how we would see things? Why is God so serious on this? And the reason that God is so serious on this is because God created government. Does anybody know what chapter of the Bible God institutes human government? You said it. Genesis, chapter number 9. And what has just happened? The flood. And when the flood is finished and Noah walks out on the dry ground, God in that moment begins to institute, really and truthfully, capital punishment and governmental direction. The reason that God desires for his child and every soul to be subject to government authority is because God created governmental authority. Matter of fact, in verse number 1, he says, "For there is no authority but of God, no power but of God." So we say it this way: all authority is God's authority. Pastor, there is no way the captain of my building is God's authority. There's no way my HOA is God's authority. Pastor, there is no way President Trump, President Obama, there's no way these are God's. Listen, all authority is God's authority. It stems from him. If that don't blow your mind, the rest of verse number 1 is going to blow your mind. The powers or the authority that be are ordained of who? That word ordained means appointed by. Appointed by. Just think about that. I know we vote as a nation, and you should vote. All Christians ought to vote. And we do our part, but God does his part. And so who God puts in authority, or who God puts in leadership, or who God establishes authority, those positions are ordained or appointed by God. Really and truthfully, they are the ministers of God. And so we're so quick sometimes when it cuts against what we believe or it cuts against what we think or whatever, just to build this wall here. But in actuality, God demands that we have a submissive and obedience to the government authorities. Now, you don't have that problem outwardly. I don't know any bank robbers in here. We have had people from our church go to prison. We have. We've had people in jail. We have. It happens. That's not our problem. Our problem is our conscience' sake. So we sit at home, and if we're not careful, we build rebellion in our mind toward governmental authorities, when really in our mind we need to reckon them as God-appointed authority in our life. Right? The human nature hates to be told to wash his sidewalk or to clean his window or to get the trash out of the front of his house. We hate for somebody to do that. But all authority is God's authority. By the way, let me just say this, and I need to do this on my own. The best, cleanest house on the street ought to be the Christian's house. I gotta go fix some things in my house. Verse number 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the authority or the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Wow. They that resist shall receive to themselves, the word is damnation in the King James, it's the word judgment there. So as I'm resisting the government with an unsubmitted will, or I'm resisting that power of authority because I want my way and I don't want to submit, you need to understand, in actuality, that is a resistance against God, the God-ordained authority in your life. Verse number 3, he goes on to talk, bring some common sense to the conversation. For rulers are not a terror to what? Good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not then be afraid of the authority? Saying, listen, if you don't want to be afraid of the governmental authority, do that which is what? Good. Obey. Obey the law. Obey the homeowner association. Obey what you signed up for. Obey the God-ordained authority. If rulers are not a terror to good work, and I'm not to reject that, then really and truthfully, I won't have a problem with them if I just do what I'm supposed to do. Pastor, they're mean. I understand. They're aggressive. I understand. But your condo board didn't put them in that position of authority. God did. If all authority comes from God. Yeah. You would be amazed at how, even in Christian people, even in your pastor, that I can burr up when I'm told to do something to my own property and I don't think you should tell me what to do. We all feel that way, don't we? Sometimes. You pious people are sitting there like, no, not me. I don't know. You got a problem, Pastor. Verse number 4. For he is the minister of God. Wow. To thee for good. Now, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. Now, he takes it here to a situation that is ultimate. For he beareth not the sword in vain. That sword really talks about the ability for the governmental authority to protect its citizens by punishing those who don't obey. It really talks about capital punishment there, but it talks about a final authority on a governmental level, that they have the right to bear that sword. Now watch what he says here in verse number 4. For he is the minister of God, twice now we've heard that, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And so really and truthfully, rulers are not a terror to good, or at least they shouldn't be. That's why we need to pray for our rulers and pray that God will direct their hearts and lead them in that way. There's no reason to be afraid of government authority or higher power authority if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And it should be relevant and practical and logical for me to do what I'm supposed to do, especially if I know that they are the minister of God and that all authority is of God. Well, Pastor, they're passing laws that may not be how I would do it, or they're passing laws about that or whatever. That really, truthfully, as long as it doesn't cut against the gospel, is not our problem. Our problem is to be obedient where we can. And as much that lieth within us, he even talks about this, we ought to seek for peace. The Christian ought not to always be in a fight with the government. You shouldn't be that way. There should be a submissive spirit to you and obeying the laws. Verse number 5, he talks about the conscience sake there. Now, watch how far he takes this. This hurts a little bit. Verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute. That word tribute is the word what? Taxes. Let me just say this because I get asked about this all the time. Pastor, what about loopholes? I get asked two questions about money all the time. Number one, do you tithe on your gross or your net? I say both. That shocks them. I'm just kidding about that. Of course it's the gross. Number two, what about loopholes on my taxes? All right? My opinion, I trust maybe, and I believe this to be a scriptural opinion, is if there is a legal way for you to navigate your way through the tax system, I think you are open to every legal way there is, but you are not open to any illegal way. Right? Even the government talks about an arm's distant transaction, or it talks about something that's not maybe the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. I think you have a responsibility to the Lord how you do that. Bible-believing, saved people are honest on their taxes. We are. If you got a loophole and you can get out of it, come teach me. I would enjoy that wonderfully. But we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. Verse number 6. For they are God's ministers. Again, attending continually upon this very thing. Doing what God has encouraged them to do or leading them to do. Render therefore to all their dues. The word tribute again, to whom tribute is due. That means you pay. Custom, to whom custom. The word custom there is the word respect. Honor, to whom honor. Now here's where I think we need a little help. It's not Trump, it's President Trump. It's not Obama, it's President Obama. It's not Hillary, it's former Secretary of State, Mrs. Clinton. To the Christian, custom is respect to whom respect. And if the office, if the government is ordained of God, and those that be are ordained of God, and they are the ministers of God, then you ought to refer to them with that type of ability. So if you're in your house, mom and dad, and you call him Trump, what do you think your kids are going to call him? If you call her Crooked Hillary, what do you think your kids are going to do? If you refer to them in that way, it's just breeding into our children disrespect. Custom, to whom custom is due. So I can disagree on a law. I can disagree on a platform. I can disagree. But you're never going to hear me call him Trump. And you're never going to hear me call him Obama. You're going to hear me call them President so-and-so. A proof text. I don't have time to take you there, but if you were to go to the book of Acts and you were to read in chapter 26 when Paul is brought to King Agrippa and Felix is there. These are two high-level government officials that are sitting in protest of Paul, and Paul's got this opportunity to speak to them. He refers to Agrippa, not as Agrippa, but King Agrippa. In the middle of that conversation, Festus jumps in and says, "You're out of your mind, Paul. You're a madman." And where Paul could have been disrespectful, he says, "Most noble Festus." He always brought custom to whom custom is due. Honor to whom honor is due. And when we realize that they are the ministers of God, that should be easy for the people of God. Yeah, yes, sir. Amen. Verse number 8. Owe no man anything. Now, this is not talking about a financial way to live. I know people address that this way. It's not talking about that. He's talking about us as citizens not being indebted to anybody other than we love one another. This is fitting. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. In our series on the life that I now live is talking about the thing about the Christian life is it is under a new law. It's under the law of love. And as I love the Lord, that's how I relate to God out of love for him. I relate to my neighbor out of that love of God for the love for my neighbor. And the Bible said upon that love is the fulfillment of all the law. And so what he's talking about here as a citizen is really and truthfully, our response to society and our work in society is that we don't really owe them anything other than that we love them and we serve them. Go on in verse number 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That verse is put within the context of your responsibility and my responsibility when it comes to being a citizen, that we ought to operate in our society, in our community, under the direction of love, as the love of God is shed abroad. Verse number 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So if you want to understand our responsibility as believers to the government and our responsibility to those that God has placed, God wants us to be subject unto government authorities or unto all authority. Why? He created it. He is the one that all authority comes from. He is the one that has ordained or appointed those leaders. They're not there for a terror of evil. Now we need to pray for them because many of our leaders are leading us in the wrong direction and many of them are leading in that way, but really and truthfully, they're there for our good. And so in recognizing that, then as long as I'm submitted and obedient, I should have no problem with them. That doesn't mean that we don't try to make sure that the laws are honest or that the laws are biblical. It doesn't mean that we don't have a voice. I think Christians ought to run for office. A couple of you would get my vote. Couple. But at the end of the day, we're to be submitted to those authorities. Tell me you understand that. Amen. Now watch how he flips this. Verse number 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. He's talking not about your personal salvation, you have that, but he's talking about that glorification process when the Lord Jesus comes, when we know our salvation in full. And if I could just put it in a message for you, he's saying, let's make sure that we're concentrated on the right thing. Because I find a lot of Christian people that are putting a lot of energy into the governmental side of our nation, but they never tell anybody about Jesus. And they watch Fox News and CNN News and MSN all day long, but they don't spend time in the Word. They don't spend time growing. You ask them anything politically, and they are right there. You ask them anything biblically, and they search for words. Paul says, fellas, listen, let's get this straight. By the way, who's the leader here when Paul's writing? Nero. You talk about vicious. You talk about wicked. You talk about a direction away. Paul says, now listen, understand that's set up by God. We reckon that as much as lies within us. We live peaceably. We submit to that, but we can't totally be distracted about that and turn our way from the understanding that Jesus is coming back soon and we need to reach as many people with the gospel as we can. He's got a balance there in his direction. The night is far spent. 12, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make provision, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Pastor, why would you preach this message? I preach this message for your conscience sake. Because it's very easy in the day in which we live with media and communication at our fingertips to get fired up about what Washington is doing. There is a place for that. But God's people ought to be fired up that Jesus is coming back. Yes, we ought to stand up for the laws of our land. I tell you, I think when a nation begins to make laws that go against God's word, that nation is in trouble. Somebody asked me the other day, how do you judge, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord? I think you have to look at the laws of the land. And as those laws are being turned away from God's word, then that nation is in trouble, and we need to pray for our nation. But as long as those laws, we ought to fight that, and we ought to stand up, and we ought to be vocal about it. But we can't be so lopsided that we're not vocal about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And then we can't be hypocritical. We can't say and tell others and then about the Lord Jesus and put this Christian face on and be non-subject ourselves to the authority in our lives. That means your boss. That means the policeman. That means the local leaders. That means our state leaders, our governor. That means we can't forget that they are the minister of God. That's hard to even choke down knowing who they are, isn't it? But it's the word of God. This is what God expects of us. This is why when you read about the early church, they were so different to the culture that the world looked at them and said, those are those Christ followers. Those are those Christians. Boy, that's a good testimony, isn't it? All right, we've had enough. Let's have our prayer.